So I'm here inside the Lowry with Chris Benowith.
That's right, yep.
Co-founder of Squid Soup. Just through the window we can see the stunning new commission created especially for the Keys, Aeolian Light, which will be on the plaza at the Keys between the 19th of December and the 7th of January. Chris, would you like to describe for us what the piece looks like visually?
So it's a large cube of LEDs. It's a 24 by 24 by 21 sort of rectangular cube of LEDs, and there's over 12,000 of them in there.
Wow.
They're all individually addressable, which means we can illuminate them individually one by one. So they're essentially kind of floating pixels in space. So it's kind of a large three-dimensional TV screen. Anthony doesn't like me calling it a three-dimensional TV screen, but I think that's the best way to think about it, is a pixel, these pixels in space that you can then kind of go in and actually walk through as well and get really up close to.
So it's like getting inside your TV screen.
That's right. So you're actually kind of getting...
Ladies and gentlemen, please now take your seats in the Keys Theatre as this afternoon's performance of Peter Pan Goes Wrong will commence in 2 minutes. The Keys Theatre is located towards the far end of the building past the Lowry restaurant. Please ensure that all mobile phones recording devices are switched off.
It's a good job it's not live, isn't it?
Special thanks to you during this performance.
Like the speaker's literally there as well.
Yes.
Right. Ladies and gentlemen, this afternoon's performance of Peter Pan...
Bit of levity for your Thursday afternoon. It's authentic. It's, you know, it gives a sense of place.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's real.
It's real.
Yeah.
So the piece, Aeolian Light, is kind of like a new iteration of work that you've done previously where you've been exploring, taking the two-dimensional into three dimensions.
And
it's different from the other things.
Well, it's a lot larger, I suppose. We've gradually been working for the past 6 years or so on creating these structures that allow us to start to visualize things in real three dimensions. So we've always been interested in moving away from the screen, I suppose, and trying not to just work with two dimensions. So we played a lot with projecting onto various different surfaces, but this technology really allows us to sort of project into three-dimensional space, I suppose.
Yeah.
So what we've been doing is it's gradually been getting larger and it's gradually been getting more complicated, and Gareth, the programmer, has gradually been, you know, developing his own kind of language, I suppose, that allows him to, you know, articulate what we want on the rig itself. So we've been gradually...
You mean visually what you want people to see?
Yeah, I think it's... it's an interesting learning process about what works and what doesn't work on this thing. So it's fairly low resolution, I suppose, in terms of media.
Right.
So we've kind of moved the other way. So HDTVs, et cetera, are getting more and more and more pixels kind of crammed in. And this thing's got, you know, you've got sort of 20 to 30 centimeters between each pixel. So it's fairly low resolution. And so we have to work out what works and what doesn't. And the more that you allow the brain to do the work about what it's kind of seeing on the grid, the more effective it is. So actually trying not to be very literal in terms of what we're putting on there has been more effective. So working with geometry and colour and movement and animation has really been working out what works in that kind of space. And that's been quite a process.
So the colours and the shapes that are made on this exploded screen are triggered by a couple of different things on this particular piece in Aeolian Light. Can you tell us about that?
So in this one, we've been using a new laser tracker. So we've previously used Kinect and basically being able to track people's feet. So we put the trackers underneath the strings so we can watch people moving around. And so we track people in the space, and what happens in Aeolian Lights particularly is there's this kind of a stream of light that comes off anybody that's in the space, but the whole piece is reacting to the wind as well. So we've got a little weather vane there that's tracking speed and direction.
Yeah.
And so you get these kind of particles of dust and balls flying through as well, and they are moving in relation to the speed of the wind. So the higher the wind speed, the faster all of this stuff moves through the grid, and it also moves in the direction of the wind as well. So you know, things can kind of sort of come in, and if the wind starts swirling, they'll sort of move around halfway through it. But the dust particles which are coming off you as a person in the grid are also kind of, you know, they flow off you and upwards, but they also kind of go in the direction of the wind as well. So you've kind of got these lights sort of flowing off you and moving off with the wind.
Which is where it becomes like a multisensory experience, isn't it? Because the lights and the shapes that are made by the wind and the movement are also mimicked by the actual blowing of the wind, of the physical of the strings of light. So you've got that kind of visual and physical.
And also, I mean, I think what's interesting is actually the other thing, the feeling of the wind on your face as well. So, you know, you've got the visual dimension of the physical lights themselves moving, then the light itself moving, and then also the element of the wind
wind
on your face, and sort of putting all of those things together. And we've never seen this thing outside before, and the amount that the strings are waving around actually really kind of adds to the piece of work.
Yeah,
because it's kind of like a giant curtain moving around. You know,
it's almost balletic.
So it's quite lovely. Quite lovely to watch, and that works very nicely, I think, in synchrony with the sort of visualizations that we're trying to create now.
But I've got to press you. Why was it that you wanted it to be responsive to the wind?
Well, we've been working on other pieces, I think, that are looking at more... So we've done a lot of work with interaction, you know, human interaction.
Yeah.
And so we've been looking at lots more sort of natural forms of interaction as well. So,
and the Keys is notorious.
And the Keys is absolutely, yes, this is...
For its windiness.
When I sort of start talking about this in the first place, and I live in New Zealand, I live in Wellington, and so we have winds up to 140 km/h on a regular basis. So,
you know what it feels like
working on
the Keys.
I'm quite used to the wind, and I think that this, you know, when we talked about this and Ant said, oh, it's going to be windy, and I thought, yeah, that's fine, but it has been, been pretty windy. I think it's because it's really swirly in here as well, because you've got buildings on either side and it gets kind of funneled through, you know, they're perfectly placed to just kind of funnel the wind through. So.
Yeah, it's unique, it's got its own little weather system here at the
definitely
Keys.
Yeah, it has, mostly rain and wind, I'd say.
Yeah, so you guys at Squid Soup, you've been working together under Squid Soup for about 7 years, I think, is that right?
No, it's about 15 now.
Oh, okay.
But it's been in various different guises. It was a commercial entity. Squid Soup started as a commercial entity initially, and we worked together in that kind of space for a long while. And the arts-based work that we were doing, a project like this, Interactive Arts, formed the research and development components of a lot of commercial work that we were doing.
Okay.
So we had this kind of 50-50 split where we would do artwork for very little money, and then that would fund the development of technologies that we would then put into commercial projects with people like Sony and Levi's, etc., etc. And what happened is when that whole industry sort of fell apart in the early 2000s, we disbanded and got flung far and wide. Everybody went off, but we carried on collaborating around the artworks.
And that's something that technology sort of allows you to do from all the different countries that you all live in.
And what's happened here is very... I suppose indicative of how we work normally is that there's lots of discussions that go on remotely, there's lots of planning that goes on, but there's a very intensive period of development that happens over a week where you just come in, this thing goes up, and then it's, you know, where we're at now is the sort of coding stage of really sort of tweaking that visual language I was talking about that Gareth has been sort of developing to create something bespoke for the space.
And it's beautiful.
Thank you.
And can you tell us, do you know what's next for Squid Soup? What will you guys be working on in the future?
So there's a couple of projects. One that I'm working on in New Zealand as part of the World War 100 commemorations also uses wind, and it's a large field of poppies. We've got one for every soldier that died, New Zealand soldier that died in Gallipoli.
Yeah.
And they're these 1 meter high poppies with a ball on top of a very springy strand.
Yeah.
And as the poppy goes off center, the ball lights up red. So what we will get is, much as wind moves through fields of barley and corn, you're going to get these light rivulets of light kind of flowing across this large field of these kind of lights.
Very
exciting.
People
will also be able to kind of walk through them and sort of touch them as well. So we're again visualizing the wind, but in a sort of flat, more of a flat kind of way, but it'll be a different aesthetic. And the other piece that we're working on is using bioluminescence. So we've been working with a scientist who uses glowing bacteria, basically.
Wow.
From the gut of a squid. which uses them to hunt. And what we're trying to do is we're working with the scientists to try and get these things to turn on and off when we want, so we can create a natural light source.
Do you know, that's funny you should say that, because the first time I went inside Aeolian Light, I did say it's like being inside a jellyfish. It's just something very under the sea
right,
about it.
So that's
just
good. Yeah. I mean, it became, you know, Submergence was the first iteration of this was really about that feeling of being in something, you know, a fluid, you know, kind of being immersed in something that's
it's
not...
It's a whole new environment.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the whole thing we really play with, that perception of space and how you can change that perception of space through lighting. The bioluminescent thing is very exciting because, I mean, we want to try and create these sorts of spaces, but in some way that by invigorating these little balls of bioluminescence that they will then create these kind of visualizations. But they've got a very different quality of light to the LED. It's a very soft light, and they obviously don't need any electricity, so when outside events like this, it would be
better. A whole new material for you to explore and play with.
So we'll see.
Thank you for sharing that with us. That was very generous of you, because you didn't have to let us know what you'd be doing in the future, but that sounds really exciting.
It should be fun,
So what's your experience been like of working on the Keys here and
it's
in Greater Manchester?
Amazing, actually. Have I been to Manchester? Yeah, I've been to Manchester once before.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know about the reputation of being so wet and windy. I thought, you know, it would be a tropical kind of paradise.
But oh, yeah. Manchester is often mistaken for a tropical paradise.
But I think it's been fantastic working here. It's been great to meet all the team at the Keys. They've been very, very supportive in terms of helping us get this together. It's been awesome to meet all of you guys and work with you guys.
Thanks, Chris.
It's been, I think the whole process has been made a lot easier by that, because it's been a very complicated installation, but you've really helped with that. And it's been nice to kind of explore this area. I think it's lovely to see so many things sitting in situ next to each other, the Arts Culture Centre, the university, the media space, and then all of the small, medium-sized enterprises which are developing around as well. It's got a good vibe about it. It's got a good buzz about it. And I think, you know, that really is a kind of cornerstone of innovation and driving kind of enterprises, having all of those things in that kind of proximity.
Yeah. And the perfect context for your new artwork, I think.
Yes, I think we sort
attracting
of try
the right
and showcase
audiences.
All of those things through Alien Lights.
Thank you very much for talking with
Pleasure.
Me today, Chris.
Thank you.
That was